We know you love us, but the information on our podcast is provided for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended as a substitute for professional advice of any kind. If you or anyone you know needs professional help, please seek mental health services. Welcome to the Date Podcast, the show for anyone navigating the dating and relationship world. We interview celebrities, talk pop news, discuss dating do's and don'ts, and debate relationship topics. We are available on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Please subscribe and review if you like what you hear. Check out our website, datepodcast.com, for more information. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Now, let's get on with the show.
This is Zork.
And Emma.
Host of the Date Podcast Show.
Yes.
How's it going?
It's going really well. I have so many things to talk about.
Well, great. And we also have a star on the show today. Her name is Sarah. She was on the show Dating Around on Netflix. And we're so excited for her to tell us about it and her experiences.
Yes, because my jaw dropped a few times and I laughed, like awkwardly laughed a lot too. Like in a good, like... The guy, we'll get into it, but you were so calm, cool, and collected, and I wasn't, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm impressed by her reaction, because I would have not reacted that way.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's ever described me as calm, cool, and collected before, so first of all, thank you very much, that's so kind.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
So we'll talk more about that, Sarah, but first, Emma has a couple of things she wants to talk about.
Oh my gosh, yes. Okay, so you guys know I've been obsessed with Madonna.
But the first question is, does Sarah like Madonna?
Sarah, do you like Madonna?
I love Madonna.
Okay, see? Good.
Okay, good.
So Madonna has come out with a song that, and the album's going to come out on my birthday. Like, I went on my little, like, rample last time. So the video is out, and so it's been, she's been, like, doing little bits and like little teases on her Instagram, and it's finally out and I've been like obsessed with it. And the thing that like honestly caught my attention in all of the whole video is that in one of the scenes, she's sucking on Maluma's toe.
What?
Which is like the featured artist. Yes, she's like sucking on his toe, and I was like, what? I was like, all right, Madonna, if that's what you like, girl, that's what you like, girl.
I don't think I've ever seen someone sucking someone's toe in a music video before, and that's new. Sarah, how do you feel about that?
Generally, I am toe neutral. I do not judge those who enjoy the toe. I also do not enjoy the toe myself. So, you know, it's chill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe it's their thing. I mean, it's not my thing either, but that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do, right? So it was just funny to me because it's just like really that's the one thing that stood out in the whole video. And it was like a packed video. That's what I remember.
Packed of what? Just packed of
packed
people?
Packed of, like, a lot of stuff. Like, it's different scenes, and it tells a story, and it's a really, like, I love when music videos tell stories, and she did that with this.
Yeah, so it was just, like, a whole deal.
Yes.
Huh.
Uh-huh. And I love how, like, that's, like, the last frontier of Madonna. It's like, what hasn't she done yet? Sucked on a stranger's toe in a music video. And it's like, nope, we can check that box. We're good.
And it's also really cool because she used, like, it was very, like, Latin-inspired, and I think a lot of it is because Maluma is there, and I felt like I was in. It felt like I was in Medellin. I'm assuming that's the city of Medellin, and that's what they're going for.
Yeah, I only know that because of Narcos. That's
yes, of course. That's right. Yeah, you're uncultured. I forget.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right. So the next person I want to talk about is from one of our favorite reality TV shows, which is Jersey Shore.
Is it?
Well, it's one of my favorite reality TV
shows. You watch
shows.
That, Sarah? Jersey Shore.
Yes, I did. I originally was in high school when it came out, so I really did think this is what my adult life may potentially look like. So it was alarming at best, I think, but very entertaining.
So what was funny for me is that was what the beginning of my adult life was like. We did GTL, like a version of it. I was very tan. I did do the snooky hair. I had a best friend. I was snooky and she was J1, like the relationship. We hung out with a group of guys and all we did was like party every weekend. So yeah. So I have fond memories of that. It takes me back. So J-Well, you know, I spoke about this before that she was divorcing her husband, Roger Matthews, and they have two kids together. And, like, this divorce and split has not gone well. So, like, you know, J-Well has accused Roger of abuse and, like, domestic violence. Roger's like, I'm in love with her. I want to work things out with her. J-Well's like, no. And apparently she confirmed that she is dating a wrestler.
Which one?
His name
was the next step, natural.
His name is Zach Clayton Carpinello.
Oh, I don't even know.
Yes. Well, he's 24. And that's his nickname, apparently. She has nicknamed him 24.
Oh, because she's probably like in her
30s,
right?
She's 34. Okay. Yeah. So she's 10 years older than him. That's not bad.
Yeah.
No. So I just thought, I was like, good for her for finally like finding someone that's fulfilling her needs right now.
Is that too old for you, Sarah? Or young for you, 24? Or is that?
Yeah, it's way too freaking young. I very rarely do I date below 30. Generally just because, I mean, I'm not like going to like say no if like we have good conversation and stuff, but I mean, I'm sorry, but most men in their 20s are kind of the worst. So I would say, you know, they have good qualities too, of course. I'm sure that Madonna herself, as well as Jennifer Lopez, have experienced such benefits,
right.
But at the same time, kind of just like too immature for me personally.
Yeah. I think when we're 30 or in our 20s, we're still trying to figure out which way's up. Like I was still a boy.
Yeah.
Like I was still like, yeah, growing
for
up.
For sure.
So, okay. Is that all you have?
That's all okay, I have. So that's Madonna sucking toes, mm-hmm. J-Wow dating a 24-year-old.
I will not remember that. I will not forget that.
No, you won't.
Okay. So we have a special guest today, which is Sarah again. And a little bit about her, or what we know from her from the show, is she's a recruiter, right? She hates dating apps. She likes to share food, and she loves puns. So that's what we got. So, Sarah, so tell us, like, what made you get on the show, or what was the defining moment that said, "Hey, I want to jump on this show"?
I was really tired of dating in New York, and they actually found me essentially, like when I was introduced by the show. I was working in a WeWork at a recruiting agency. And so I was in the kitchen and I was munching on a bagel, talking with my mouth full, like the perfect lady, to some woman. And then she was just like a stranger to me, but apparently she was there to recruit for Dating Around. And she asked me, she was like, how do you feel about being on Netflix? After we chatted for a while about, you know, like dating in New York and dating in general, and, also floral dresses, different topics. Uh-huh. And, yeah, she had me call a casting person the next day, and then weeks later, the producers came down from LA, so I met with them as well, and we started shooting in June. So I guess the whole situation was a little whirlwind, because I just assumed that I wouldn't get to that point where there was a camera in front of me, but there I was. It was fun.
So, very cool.
So how was that process? Did you have to answer like a billion questions like some of these TV show reality stars do, you know, like about your personality and all that, what you're looking for?
Yes. So they asked me a lot of questions, and it was sort of almost like a real life personality test, like a BuzzFeed quiz, where I felt like they were just asking a lot of questions, wanting to get to know me in rapid times. So I was just kind of like, here's who I am. And apparently they liked it enough to film it, but, there was like a screening process with, the casting people and then the producers. So, it was certainly a process.
Okay. So hold on. So before we get into the show, how was your dating life before?
I take that as excellent.
It was non-existent, to be honest with you. Which is funny because my roommate, said that I was like always bringing home the wrong guys, and I'm like, who am I bringing home? Have you seen them? Can you bring them back? I just don't. Where have they gone? I just really wasn't dating very much, and I had so many horror stories that like I was sharing with this woman, and it was just like very. I was like about to give up on it and get a cat, and then I met these women in the WeWork, so kind of I would say non-existent.
Did you get the cat after all?
I didn't, because one of my roommates now is allergic, which is probably our only point of contention in the whole roommate relationship, is his allergies. So, no, I didn't get the cat.
Got it.
Gotcha. So, okay, so if there's people out there that haven't seen the show, it's sort of a blind date show, right, Sarah? Like, do you meet these guys any time before taping, or is it the first time you meet them on tape?
Absolutely not. I actually met none of them before they walked up to me.
Whoa.
Yeah. So like, one of the producers, Kevin, would actually like whisper to me about, 30 seconds before the guy would show up, and I would be standing on the street corner, which was, you know, just super busy, and there were people honking, and it was really tense. And then, Kevin would be like, "His name's Nick, go." I would be like, "Oh, hi, are you Nick?" Because I was like, "I really hope you're Nick. If you're not, I really apologize, because I think you're in the wrong place at the wrong time."
Did they so they wouldn't even point to the guy before they would be like, "Here."
That was like very on purpose, is that I was kept far away. Even when I was doing my wardrobe fitting, there may have been either other cast members, which I also had almost no contact with. I only say almost no, because I saw Leonard and I were in makeup at the same time. So, yeah. But yeah, they kept us far apart from each other for, the whole of the taping. Like they kept track of me to like the minute of where I was. Like, oh, wow. They called me "the talent is moving." Like if I were like going to the craft services table, they'd be like, "Talent is moving." And I'd look around like, where? But, yeah, they would not let us see or talk to any of our dates until, or really give us any information about them until about 30 seconds before we saw them.
Wow.
So, that's intense.
So tell us how you felt, because whenever I go on a first date, I'm like nervous and I feel like I'm about to cry and pee in my pants. Like, were you nervous or were you good?
In no way, shape, or form was I good. I was really very nervous. That's why the thing is like, when I get nervous, I quote my grandpa. I don't know why I do this, but every time I get nervous, I throw out an old timey phrase. So like, I would be like, "Let's kick rocks" if I'm unhappy, or like,
what does
or
that
like,
mean?
Like, does a cat have climbing gear? You know, if I'm feeling tense or nervous. So I quoted my grandpa a lot, because of the level of anxiety. It was just like, there were like anywhere between 6 to 8 cameras on us at all times. We were mic'd up. It was a very real experience, and that it was definitely, it was definitely not manufactured, but at the same time, it still was a production. So of course my nerves were really quite high, because I had never been on a production before or been on camera. So it was very nerve wracking.
Yeah. So what does "Let's Kick Rocks" mean? I'm curious for my own sake.
I thought, honest to God, I don't know why I used that phrase to such an abusive level, but to my knowledge, it meant at the time, "Let's get out of here." I think it's an insulting thing that you say to someone you don't like. It's like, "Go kick rocks," you know?
Yeah,
got it.
So I guess I'm talking in general. We say this, that whenever you meet somebody on a date, you can tell right away if they're gonna be a good match for you. With any of these five guys, could you tell just right away that this guy might be a good match for me?
For me, I felt like I realized the person I wanted to choose like about midway through the date, just because we had really good conversation that was cut for time. Like each of these dates were actually around 10 to 14 hours, with the exception of one.
Are really?
You serious?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, 10 to 14 hours. So the shooting took 2 weeks, about, I guess, if you break it up between when I first started working with them and when I didn't. It was kind of nuts. Yeah, each of those dates is full length. There was like beginning, middle, end, awkward pauses in between. And it was, yeah, those were each real dates. So I think that a lot of Matt and I's conversation got cut for time. But he had a lot of really good conversation, and he talked a lot about other people in his life, which I thought was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
He talks a lot. He's also in tech as well, so we had that in common. And he was just a really sweet, cool guy. In terms of things being red flags immediately, I would say probably making dirty jokes within like the first 3 minutes of meeting someone. Generally.
Yep.
And I use this in a very non-bitter and hopefully teachable way. Is not cool. Beyond that, I think if people say certain things like, they're like rude to wait staff or disrespectful in any way to the people around them, specifically, like, I pay very close attention to how they treat the wait staff and the hostesses and like the people at the actual, like, or the bartenders. Because obviously they're trying to butter me up. They're trying to, you know, have the date go well, but like, it's all about, for me, how they treat other people. That's pretty big. So I think somebody that's really rude to wait staff or somebody that's like, not beneficial to them immediately, I think that's what I pay close attention to mostly. So somebody that violates that would be, a big no.
Yeah.
And so I think it was John who was the one who was kind of sexual, and that was kind of cringeworthy, right, Emma?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he was just too forward too fast. I don't know. Right.
Yeah. My cringy moment where like I cringed and I awkwardly laughed was when he told you to relax. Because I was like, are you kidding me right now? I was like, are you serious? Like,
was actually Adrian.
Oh, it was Adrian.
Adrian. Yeah. He's also a really good friend of mine now.
Really?
Yeah. We also had a lot of good conversation. There was just, we just both decided that we just are just, the idea of both of us seeing each other in the nude is very sad for both of us, I think. But we had good conversation.
That's what I say about Zorik all the time. That's exactly what I say. I'm like, we're great friends because people ask, like, have y'all dated? Did y'all date? And I'm like, no. I'm like, I don't want to see him naked. Like, it kind of grosses me out.
You just don't. No offense to Adrian. He's a very handsome man, and I believe he is single. Ladies, he is single.
Yeah.
But he also plays mean pinball.
So I think Adrian did something great during the date. He took your hand or grabbed your hand or asked for your hand, right? Mm-hmm. Like usually that would happen while you're walking between restaurants or to a different location, but that was pretty ballsy. I like that move. How did you feel when he grabbed your hand, Sarah? Was it okay?
I was like, okay, this is happening. You know, I didn't feel negative about it at all because I felt at that point we'd had like hours of conversation. So we were, you know, at least comfortable enough around each other where like physical touch would not have been uncomfortable. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good move, but definitely feel out the situation like at the time, definitely moving forward.
Yeah. And what is your love language? Do you know?
Appetizers?
Zorik loves this question for a non-therapy, like a therapist.
What are the choices?
So there's physical touch, words of affirmation, acts of service, gifts, and quality time.
I would probably say quality time and physical touch. Mm-hmm. Definitely not words of affirmation. Like, I am physically unable to take compliments, which Adrian and I actually learned very early on because he's a very complimentary gentleman. And so he was complimenting my dress and the way that I looked. And for me personally, I'm just like, no. What are we doing? No. Don't talk about anything physical. Cause like I grew up an ugly duckling. So for me, that's like a big no. I get really uncomfortable with it.
As a therapist.
Yeah.
Yes, it's nice to know where that's coming from. But and also,
it's nice to know where I've actually paid a lot of therapy.
Okay, good.
Therapy to uncover that. So, did I answer your question?
I'm yes. Not sure.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, Nick came out first, and I liked Nick. I felt like you guys had a lot of chemistry. Mm-hmm. You guys were bantering back and forth. He was witty and funny. But what I thought the date ended well too. What happened there? Was there something that was missing or
something? What didn't we see? Yeah. I feel like Netflix set us up to like
believe that he was gonna be the one.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they had like 50 to 60 hours of footage total, and like edited it into 28 minutes. So they had their choice of, you know, they're it's still a show at the same time. I have nothing against Nick, nothing to too terrible or like traumatic happened during the date. Yeah, I think really the kiss in the car, because I was very uncomfortable.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, normally that would have been maybe fine given different circumstances, but with the cameras there, it just felt really scary. Not scary, but like, you know, just not comfortable.
Was this the... Was this kind of like the first, like, I know that you had 5 blind dates, but were these like your first blind dates, or did you have a blind date before this experience?
I have never had a blind date before this experience. Yeah.
Well...
Because it's rough. I mean, it's rough.
Yeah.
And then you have cameras.
You're not even talking like in Tinder or whatever. Like, you don't have any knowledge of who they are, what they look like.
Right. It's like a true blind date.
Yeah. And so anyway, I was cheering for Nick, but I guess Nick wasn't the guy. but Antonio, the firefighter, it seemed like you like him. But I felt like there was kind of the chemistry wasn't there to me. That's what I thought.
The chemistry, like, wasn't really there the entire night. So I don't actually remember saying you're cute that many times, but it was a struggle for conversation. I think a lot of the time we're just entirely different people. Mm-hmm. So, like, we share no interest at all, really, except the fact that we live in the same general city area and, you know, have all fingers and toes accounted for, I think so. but that we had absolutely nothing in common. He's really passionate about being a DJ, and he talked about that a lot, and I don't particularly care for electronic music. I'm not opposed to it, but he talked about that a lot. Yeah. So for me, it's like there was one point in the conversation that didn't make it onto the final cut where I literally am like, are you allergic to anything? Because I just couldn't think of anything to ask him.
Oh my God.
I was just like, do you have allergies? You know, like a normal person.
My gosh.
Yeah. So there was just no chemistry from the moment I met him. That was like the chat just wasn't there. Like the conversation wasn't there. And that's probably number one for me.
Yeah. I think the other one for me was when he was like, you were like talking about your tears, right? Like the kind of the levels of like intimacy for you. And he said something like, how can I be all in if you're not all in, or something like that, something to that extent.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I was like, whoa, dude, like this is the first date and you're not going to be 100 with someone from the beginning.
I think that maybe there was, again, we're just such very different people, right, as he pointed out, on total different wavelengths. So I think for him, his interpretation of my tears may have been more that it was a level of of genuineness sort of thing.
Oh, got it.
That I would be withholding of certain things until certain points in the relationship or interaction with this person. But for me, it's like, obviously I have no issue communicating with my partners, right, obviously. I don't think any of my partners would ever call me under-communicative. But I think that what the tears came across to him is that it meant honesty or sincerity. Mm-hmm. But that's not at all what it means to me. For me, it's like I'm 100% honest and very sincere and genuine showing up to this interaction, whether it's a one-night thing, whether it's just like we don't even have the thing and it's just we're friends or never see each other again. Mm-hmm. I think there's like you need to be 100% genuine from the get-go. And for me, that's a complete given. So I think that we had very different interpretations of what those tears meant.
So you talked about you didn't have chemistry. So what does that mean to you? Is it just the interest or is it something else? Is it a feeling for you?
Yes, definitely. So like you kind of know right off the bat, and boy, I did try. I tried with him. But it was just like a no, big no. And he was also my first date that I had, which is a key piece of information because I'd never done any of this before. And I was like a nervous, crazy person, quoting my grandpa. but yeah, I do know pretty immediately. And it's there have been like situations with people that I'm physically attracted to, but there's still that like lack of chemistry where it's like, I'm not saying it has to be like a match igniting, but there needs to be at least some sort of spark there. And I've certainly had situations where the physical attraction was there, but like the spark wasn't. Mm-hmm. I've had situations where like the spark was there, but somehow the physical wasn't. Very weird. But I mean, they're not mutually exclusive.
No, they're not.
Yeah. So during these 14 hours, what are the producers doing? And are they telling you to ask questions?
Are you sleeping in between like two, or is it like 14 hours straight?
Yeah. Is it straight? Like, how does this happen for 14 hours?
I need to talk to my union rep. I'm kidding. Yeah. It's like 14 hours. And then like most of the dates were consecutive. So it was like stay up until 6 a.m. and then sleep until like God knows when, 2 p.m. and then show up to set at 5.
Wow.
p.m. Which is actually like it's inverted for most set stuff, I think, from what I've talked to people in the industry about. Usually you have to, for some reason in entertainment, you have to start at like the ass crack of dawn. But for me, it was totally inverted. So I was basically starting at nighttime and we were filming the whole time it was dark.
Wow.
Yeah, it's so who plans like the itinerary? Was it the producers or you, or how did that work?
Or your date?
It was the producers. I think the people that had the least amount of control throughout the entire process were probably my dates, followed shortly by me. Mm-hmm. But they definitely like had decided the venue and kind of the general like locations for the shooting and stuff. I wouldn't say that they were like whispering in our ears or anything, but you know, they were checking in on us being like, hey, how is everything? How are you feeling? What do you want to do? They made it very clear that like, if I'm uncomfortable, I don't have to be there and I don't have to put up with it, which was really empowering.
Yeah. Well, that's great. So, yeah.
Basically they had, I would say semi-minimal interaction with me on set.
Mm-hmm. So when you said whispering in your ear, was it like in between takes or did you have an earpiece?
Like God, no, I didn't have an earpiece.
Okay.
it was between takes.
Mm-hmm.
So when we switched between the parts of the date, so the beginning, the middle, and the end, there would be a short break where we could, you know, use the restroom or grab another bottle of water, that sort of thing. And that's when we would usually catch up with the producer and they would sort of take my temp, so to speak.
Gotcha. So let me get this straight. So let's say you got on that first date with whoever it was, John or Antonio. Would you date that like Antonio throughout the whole thing and then go to the next person? Or were you just constantly mixing it up with different guys throughout the 2 weeks?
So each date was like one date. It was one night. So it was a full length date with one guy. So when I was with Antonio, I was with him for like 9 to 14 hours or something like that. It's the same with Nick. I think Nick and Matt had the longest dates that were like 14 hours.
Wow.
Like I think the sun was about to come up. Like it was super, super early in the morning. So late it was early. But yeah, it was separated by that.
Because the question I'm going to go to is, do you date multiple guys at once? Can you do that?
Can I not?
I mean,
am I not
supposed to? You can or you can't.
No. Because it comes from like, I can't.
Yeah,
like,
some people
can't. I don't know. It's not that I can't do that. It's just like I feel uncomfortable doing that. Like, so like I'll disclose, I was in like a kind of a long-term relationship a few months ago, like almost a year ago, and the guy didn't want to commit, so he told me I could date other people, and I did go on a few dates while I was with him, and it felt so uncomfortable for me, and I was like, I don't know what this is about, like this is not for me. So I know for me, like if I'm dating one person, like I have to date you this week. And then if it doesn't work out, then I can move on to the next person the next week and then go on and go on. So, and it's nothing, like, it's not bad or good. It just is. And so there's nothing wrong with it. It's just, we're just curious to know, like, do you feel comfortable with it?
I mean, I think it's a case-by-case basis, like, every time, 100% of the time. But I actually have also been in that situation before where, like, mm-hmm. I was seeing a guy for, like, a couple months. And, you know, it was more than a couple months, but it was he wanted to stay casual. But the weird thing was is that he didn't want to commit, much like your guy.
Yep.
But, like, he wanted to do everything that encompassed being in a relationship.
Were we dating the same guy?
We might have been. I'll give you the specs. I'll give you his measurements later. You can compare. But yeah, it was this situation. I eventually walked away from it because it was like, you know, it's either you don't really have an issue with the commitment, you have more of an issue with the expectations that come with it, because it's like obviously doing the actual commitment, which is the hard work, the behaviors, is not an issue. It's the public announcement of it, or the even private announcement of it, that comes with a certain expectation of behavior. And I think if I look back at it, that's probably what he had more of an issue with. And it just wasn't working out for that reason.
Gotcha. So, okay. So let's say, okay, you've talked to everybody or went on a date with everybody, Nick, Antonio, John, Adrian, Matt. Do once you finish with everyone's date or dating everybody, are they waiting to hear your response on whether or not they want to go on a second date, or how did that work?
I actually was not aware that there was a second date in the works. That was like part of the production, I don't think. That was really mentioned to me too much. It was very like, they wanted to keep it very realistic and very unabridged. They didn't want to like interrupt anything, or they wanted it to be very like, you know, see everybody and then make your decision, rather than me looking at everybody and being like, who do I want to see for a second date? So they didn't actually tell me until I'd wrapped with all of my dates. So I kind of had this choice after the fact, which was, I think, super cool, because it gave me the chance to sort of look at everybody and I look at my different experiences with them and look at who I did really want to see again and who I would enjoy spending time with.
So what was the deciding factor for Matt? Like, what was it?
He's really funny and he's really sweet. He's a really incredible guy. Uh-huh. We had such amazing chat that got cut for time. That makes me so deeply sad. Mm-hmm. But he's really funny. He's very kind. He made me laugh, and he made me laugh in a way that was like relaxing. So my time with Nick, I felt very much so, was more, very energetic. We were a bit bouncing off of each other quite a lot. Which is fine, but like I've dated that guy before, and not to, you know, put Nick himself into a box or anything like that, but I've dated that sort of personality in that dynamic before, and it's been very exhausting. And it's like, I can't relax and I can't be myself, and I have to feel like, you know, always energized, and it's absolutely just, it just drains your energy. So with Matt, I think with him, the number one thing is that I felt I could relax. I felt we had really good chemistry, good chat, if you will. And he made me laugh and he made me feel comfortable, which is the first time I felt really, really comfortable in front of cameras, the whole experience. And Matt was my last date, and he was actually directly after Mr. John. So I was kind of pretty upset about after the Mr. John incident. I felt fairly uncomfortable and kind of wanted to go home. But the producers were like, we have one more. And I'm like, okay, we can like do this. And the way that Matt and I interacted and the ease that I was able to like have conversation with him, it really put me at ease and I felt comfortable, especially after something like that happening. You know, I felt a lot more relaxed. So yeah, that's why I chose him.
Did Matt get to hear your 9-minute joke on Greek mythology?
I tortured him with that immediately after he showed up with the Narragansett. I was like, first of all, there's a 9-minute joke, and I'm not even going to ask if you want to hear it, because I'm going to tell it to you anyway.
Nice.
But yeah.
Yeah, I feel bad for Matt. I mean, he seems like a great guy, but I couldn't fall in love with him, because I was like in your shoes, Sarah. I was trying to fall in love with all the guys. But did Matt get the least amount of time on air? That's what I feel like.
He got the least amount of time on air, which sucks, because he, like, we had his was like 12 or 13 hours. It was a very, like, almost 14-hour date. Like, we had plenty of conversation, and we had plenty in common. But I think for time, because there was over 50 to 60 hours of footage, if I had to estimate it, I don't know for sure. But the amount of time that we spent filming was so great on each date, because they were each full-length dates. They can't smash that all into a 30-minute episode. So I think yeah, he got cut for time a lot, and so did Adrian. But yeah, I think he was underrepresented. I would have liked to see more Matt, and I certainly know that there are certain women on Twitter that feel the same. So good.
Okay, so I have a request.
Okay.
I would like to hear the 9-minute joke about Greek mythology.
Oh, my Jesus. All right.
Are you ready for that?
Sorry, it's okay. No, it's nine minutes. It's not 9 minutes anymore, and I don't think we have that much time left.
Yeah.
I've actually extended it to a 14-hour Steven Spielberg movie. So you're welcome. Anyway, it goes like this. How familiar are you guys with Greek mythology? Like on a scale of 0 to 10, 10 being like you could teach a course in it.
I'm a five. I'm a four. Yeah.
Okay. Do you know who Persephone is?
Yes.
Okay. What about you?
I've seen Troy, that movie, and she was on that show.
Unfortunately,
wasn't Brad she?
No.
Oh, maybe it's a zero. No.
That was just Brad Pitt's thighs, which I can see how you would mistake that word of a person, but, you know.
Okay,
so essentially, the joke goes, Hades didn't have to go through all that trouble to kidnap Persephone. He just wanted Demeter. Now, in Greek mythology, did you guys understand why that was at least a little funny?
Wanted to meet her.
Demeter. Oh. So Persephone's mother is named Demeter, and she's the goddess of renewal and springtime and fertility. And her daughter is Persephone, who was kidnapped by Hades, which is super problematic. And like, we should unpack that at a later date, maybe off camera. But he kidnaps her. And that's basically the Greek legend of the season. So the reason why the joke takes that long is because I had to basically explain an entire Greek myth about seasons before I can tell the punchline. So, the date is not in yet on the payoff for that one, but I'm working on it.
Oh, I feel so dumb. I could not.
You are not dumb. I am dumb.
Oh, my gosh. No. Emma?
Yes.
So I want to know, what's next for Sarah and Matt, or is there a next?
We actually work in the same building. I know. I saw him in the other lobby the other day, and I was just like, or it was a couple months ago at this point, but work's been crazy. I saw him, and I was like, you gentlemen, I know you.
Oh, okay. So I guess you guys haven't been dating, or could you talk about that?
I mean, we went on a couple dates, but I think it just sort of somewhat, like everybody on the show, it fizzled out a little bit. Mm. I don't even remember like who was last in contact with who, but like I had a really good time with him, but you know, maybe not quite the right partner. So I am single. Someone touch me, please. I'm just kidding.
Someone touch her really. When she gives you permission to touch her, okay? Boundaries, okay?
Boundaries. Yeah. There are several tiers. Actually, touching me might be way too low in the tiers, I think, maybe.
No, which is, physical touch is your love language. Like, I love
it's
being
love
touched.
Language.
So anytime that, like, a person meets me, I'm always like, can I hug you? Because
I'm very physically there with my partner and with my friends. Like I like to cuddle my friends and hug and
me too.
And like I'm a big nuggler. I love to snuggle. but anyway, yeah, I'm single. Just chilling. I'm going to Japan on Tuesday for 9 days, so that's super fun.
Nice. That's exciting.
So
yeah.
That's cool. So what did you from the show, did you kind of learn anything or any lessons from the whole blind dating experience for those people that haven't been on a blind date before?
Yeah. So I've actually never walked out of a date before, but for some reason I felt empowered that evening to do so. And I've had, so many positive messages of outreach from young women all over the world and even parents like of young women saying, or even just people in general that are like, thank you for walking away. Regardless about how you felt about his jokes, you know, it's nice to see somebody stand up and say, I'm not comfortable, I'm gonna leave, you know, but in a polite way. So I think generally that's probably the biggest lesson, is that it's okay to set your own standards and set your tiers. And,
right.
you know, not agreeing with somebody or correcting somebody for behavior that you find is offensive or unpleasant doesn't mean that you have to scream, you know, fuck you with a middle finger in their face, because that's not really going to be a teachable moment for them. I think it's more about connecting with them on a personal level and trying to speak to them just like another human being. So I think for me, that's generally like the feel I've gotten from a lot of the like fan, if I can call them my fans. I don't know that I
have
fans.
We are your fans. You have two here for sure. Because we don't talk about, so we talk about a lot about dating topics, but we've never really talked about how to leave a date.
Yeah.
And I think you did it with class too. You weren't, you know, you weren't mean about it, but you did tell them, you know, kind of what was going on, and you left. And I think would you have left, Emma, or would you have just kind of stayed?
I think I would have stayed just because, unfortunately for me, I feel like I probably would have felt like, oh, like we're on a date. Like I need to like give it a try. I need to stick it out. But if it had been like the second or third date, I would have been like, nah, I'm out. The first date, I always feel guilty about it. I feel like I have to be polite.
Yeah.
Which I don't, which I know I don't.
Yeah.
You don't. Like, that's the thing, is that like there's so much more pressure on females and women and people that identify as females to like be polite and kind. Like, you're basically the flight attendant of the world, and you have to make sure everybody has a nice ride. And it's like, you have to, you can't stand up for yourself or say when something is wrong. But I think the thing is like, that's also beneficial for men, because you know, in the era that we're having a lot of these things come to light, in the Me Too era, I hate using that phrase, but it's applicable here. Like having women feeling comfortable to speak up and say when a boundary is crossed, when you're uncomfortable, being able to like verbally express yourself like that is beneficial for absolutely everyone. Everyone can benefit from too much communication in that way, I think.
Yeah, because I think as men, we're kind of aloof sometimes. Like we think we're trying to make you laugh and trying to be funny, but sometimes it can come off as, like in this situation, pretty crass, pretty bad. And I like how you kind of did that and, you know, ended it. But okay, so this comes to our like dating question.
Yes.
We wanted to ask you, what are some signs that you can tell when somebody's just not into you during a date?
When they leave,
the that's number one.
That you're currently having the date at is generally a very good barometer, I find.
Yeah. Because obviously. What about you, Emma? Anything?
Yeah, for mine for sure is like, and it's funny because I was like, oh, I'm reflecting on stuff that I've done before.
Yeah.
definitely like looking around during the date, right? Just kind of like, because I like to people watch. And so a lot of times if I'm not having a good time, or like I'll start people watching where I am. And sometimes I just do it for fun. So it just depends on the situation. But I'll start looking around, like wanting to order quickly, right? Because you want to get out of there. You want to get through that meal. And just like very minimal engagement during the conversation.
So when the other person's doing this stuff to you.
Yes.
Okay.
Or me doing it to them.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, my thing is just not talking. Like when they're not asking me questions about my life and just any type of conversation, I feel like, oh, she's not into me. I need to do something else or say something else. But that's usually
that's when you break out the 9-minute joke.
Oh,
you're welcome for that. You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Okay, so Sarah, our audience, you know, we're about what's our audience? 24 to 34. Single.
Yep.
Mainly female.
Yeah.
What's your recommendation to those out there that are dating today? Do you have anything? Any nuggets that people can, you know, take to their dating lives?
Yeah. I mean, I think it might be kind of basic advice that you've probably read in a magazine somewhere, but be okay being by yourself, because you like I actually really do believe that unless you're okay by yourself, you're going to be shit in a relationship with another human being.
Word.
You know? So it's like, you don't have to be with somebody to be happy. For me, like I spend a lot of my time with my friends, and yeah, I'm dating, but at the same time, if I don't, find somebody immediately, it's like, that's fine because I have other fulfilling relationships and I have a good relationship with myself. And I think that that's probably one thing I wish I had known earlier in my 20s. So I guess that's my nugget if I got to pick one.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, Sarah, thanks for being on the show.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for all this information and the abbreviated nine-minute joke.
Yes.
So much information.
Yeah.
So much information. Yeah.
So how can everyone, besides the show, the Dating Around show, how can everyone find you?
I'm on Instagram and Twitter. After the backlash from the show, I generally decided to stay off of Twitter for obvious reasons.
I gotcha.
And then, I'm on Instagram. It's my first name, last name, Shara, S-H. I was like, I made it in college and I thought I was being clever, but now it's just sort of a burden because I have to I just still have it. And, but yeah, I'm also, I mean, I have a personal Facebook, but I'd prefer not to connect there.
That's fine.
That's cool. Okay.
Yeah. Also, I mean, I live in Crown Heights, Brooklyn. So if you're around, say hi.
Cool. Sounds good. One more question. Are you going to be on any other shows, any other dating shows or TV shows?
Never another dating show as long as I live. Thank you. Like, you can literally, I will write that down and sign it in my blood. I don't even care.
Oh, wow.
Gotcha. So it's a hard no. Okay.
Hard no.
All right, Sarah. Well, thanks for your time. Emma, I think that's it, right?
That's it, yeah.
All right, everyone. We'll thank you, and we'll see you guys soon.
We'll do.
Bye, Sarah. Thank you.
Bye. Thanks.
Bye. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Date Podcast. Please subscribe and review if you liked what you hear. Send us an email at hello@datepodcast.com for any questions, comments, or show topics you'd like for us to discuss. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Most importantly, tell your friends about our show.